Welcome to the University of Michigan Press Podcast, a monthly show featuring interviews with University of Michigan Press authors.
Along with so many others who signed up to support the war effort, 30-year-old Mildred Radovich left a comfortable job at the University of Michigan Hospital to volunteer as a surgical nurse in the major battle theaters of the war. After a harrowing ocean crossing, Radovich landed near Omaha Beach soon after D-Day. There, she assisted the injured on the front lines as they poured in by the hundreds. Radovich also traveled to Belgium and Germany and set up near Aachen, where buzz bombs rained down in an attack that brought the wounded soldiers in by the truckload. Throughout her story, and despite the horrors of the war, Radovich recounts uplifting tales of heroism and courage and intersperses the narrative with poignant letters from her family and fiancé. This stirring personal account will fascinate anyone interested in World War II history and women's too often overlooked role in it.
Well, good afternoon, Mildred McGregor. Thanks so much for talking to me.
Well, I'm very flattered to have you come and visit me.
Yeah. Can you tell me when and where you were born and then where did you grow up?
Yes, I was born in Detroit and I grew up in Detroit and went to school there until I came to Ann Arbor in, I forget the year now, but to get my nurse's training. After I graduated from school.
And so do you mind my saying, you're 95 now, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. I'm 95.
So that would have been, you were born in
1912.
So why did you decide to become a nurse?
Well, in that day of depression, there was little choice except you could be a secretary or a stenographer, very few choices as far as future careers for anybody was concerned. College was too expensive because that was a depression.
Mm-hmm. So the opportunities for women then were limited to
either secretaries or nurses training or teachers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in 1942, when you signed up, how long had you been a nurse then? When you signed up for the Army. To enlist in the Army.
I had graduated about 8 years before, I believe.
Sometime in the 1930s. So why did you decide to tell your story? You know, when did you first start to write your book?
Yes. There was a writing group organized here in Ann Arbor at Turner Resource.
Okay, right.
And that was the beginning of my being interested in just writing something, and I concentrated on my past experience.
Was that quite a while ago, or when you started writing the book, or?
That was, that writing group started about 24 years ago.
Okay.
Something like that, I'm just guessing.
So about 24 years or so ago, you started to think about, or you started to write your book?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I never stayed with it or anything until the last 6 or 8 years.
Oh, okay.
I began seriously considering putting it together.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about memories that happened almost 50 years ago, how was that hard to bring those memories back up to the present?
That time, a few years back, it wasn't. But now, in the past few years, things are difficult for me to properly date or remember.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good that you got it down in writing. So can you talk a little bit about the events surrounding your enlistment as a surgical nurse? And this was through the Army, right?
Yes. Let me see now. I'm trying to think back. Oh, I joined the University of Michigan group that was going overseas.
Uh-huh.
And that was just the beginning of the war. And I had gone to San Francisco to transport a patient that I was taking care of at the university hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in California when I got the message from the Army to come back immediately that I was in part of the Army now.
Oh, okay.
And I had missed the boat by that time on being with the University of Michigan unit. but fell into a group that was very much more exciting. It was called Frontline Surgeons.
Okay.
But we did we followed the infantry and operated on those who were desperately wounded, mm-hmm. and needed to be operated on immediately, or they would not survive. So
okay.
we followed the infantry as the war progressed.
So you were essentially kind of drafted, really? I mean, you didn't enlist. They said you need to come.
No, that was voluntary.
Oh, okay.
We weren't drafted. It was later that it became necessary to kind of insist on people going in to
okay.
service.
All right. When reading some of your book, I understand that the journey across the ocean was pretty harrowing.
Yes.
Can you talk a bit about that?
The Queen Mary was a ship, and she had been before she on her way from England to come to the United States. She was attacked by a German submarine, and was then delayed and had to be repaired for some months. And then when we finally got here, it was I forget the year 42. Yes, when we boarded ship, and then the Queen Mary had to zigzag every 8 minutes to avoid a submarine attack.
Oh.
And so on several occasions we were warned by some, the Queen could receive message but could not give off messages, because then the Germans could
find out where you were.
We were, so we had to change our course a couple of times because we were in danger.
Was this really nerve-wracking for you? I mean, going across and having the feeling that you could be bombed by the Germans at any minute? I mean, was it very high tension?
I think we were too excited about everything to be really concerned.
Uh-huh.
But in the middle of the ocean, we hit one of the worst storms in living memory, where the waves came 100 feet up over the ship, and the ship tilted to just inches of submerging.
And now that would be nerve-wracking.
Yes, the water came over the top of the ship.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But somehow it survived. And of course, when we finally got to the port of England, the ships came out to welcome us, because they didn't think we had survived the terrible storm in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah. So from the port of Southampton, was that?
Yes, that rings a bell.
So where did you go from there then?
We went to Africa.
Oh, okay.
Pretty soon, because the English were fighting the Germans, and the French were still not sure about who to be loyal to. You know,
mm-hmm.
France is kind of divided mm-hmm. at that time. Because Hitler invaded France, but sort of didn't do any damage to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some agreement to kind of not do that, the antiquity of all the things in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
But then we, from there on, we went to Oxford, and we stayed there for a period of months. And then half of our group stayed in England, and half of us went to Africa, and then we followed the war all across from Oran all the way to end of the top of the course of Africa.
Okay. I'm trying to remember, and
then went on from, and then stayed there and followed the infantry.
Okay.
Then went over into the Mediterranean and stayed at one of the islands, and then came back after that, back to England again.
Now, I remember one scene in your book, you talk about the cars having to follow each other with the lights off.
Yes,
so you would avoid the air raids.
Little pinwheels so that the enemy couldn't detect us on the road at night especially. So I knew it was harrowing mountains and
the precipice.
Just almost how they could possibly not go drop off, and half of our unit was lost, and we thought that maybe they had dropped off somewhere following the little pinpoint lock.
Yeah.
But the next day they caught up with us. They had just gotten lost.
Oh, thank goodness.
In Africa. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. You were also, and then you found yourself in France around D-Day, right? Is that,
yes.
That's where you saw some of the really major battle stuff that you had to take care of, and nursing and things like that, and surgery?
Yes. Our surgeons went in on D-Day minus even at midnight before D-Day. They flew in following ships, Air Force that was able to avoid contact. Somehow they were, because the Germans were always shooting anti-aircraft. And so we nurses followed about 5 or 6 days, I forget definitely. But our surgeons went in D-minus 12. So they were there ahead of us. The nurses didn't come in until about a week or two later.
I understand that even a friend of yours was killed in the bombing at Omaha Beach or near there, or is that right? Nurse colleague of yours was.
Yes, it was really a boyfriend that I grew very fond of, and toward the very end. They had a whole group of ships, airships, bombers, that were from England and all, something, a whole group of various countries that are part of our group, that went in on this massive raid, because we were getting weary of dragging this war out. And my friend was in the lead ship of these various air raid planes and was killed in that raid. Bombing had been accurate right in deep into Germany, and then they swerved down very low to bomb low factories and things, and was hit by anti-aircraft and was killed.
I'm sorry.
His name was Brunson, and I had mentioned him in the book.
Okay, I got my facts mixed up there.
Yeah, that's ahead of the world.
So, apart from those events that I just asked you about, are there other things that you remember in particular that really stand out during your experience as a surgeon in World War II?
I remember standing at the top of St. Lo, and watching the enemy ships come in and bomb our friendly ships and bomb St. Lo terrifically. They just bombed it off the map. Mm-hmm. And I was standing up on the top of a ridge watching this in some distance and watching our planes come in and then seeing the whole, and of course thousands and thousands of German soldiers were massacred in that war.
Wow.
And we could hear, we were always following the front, and we also operated on the enemy, and it was raining, and we had no tentage to cover them, and we could hear them moaning in the field outside, and when the nurses went around in the daytime then with water to get the wounded, they were lying on the ground, and they would say, "Danke, Schwester, danke, Schwester." It was very pitiful to see so many lives of the finest youth destroyed.
Wow. Incredible story.
Yeah.
So
war is so destructive of your very finest youth.
Those are the ones that always end up getting killed.
Whole generation of youth.
Right. So when the war was over and you came back, did you resume your duties as a nurse at the hospital then? Or?
At the end of the war, we were sent to the Riviera for a hilarious time on there on the Mediterranean course. And, and while I was at the Mediterranean, I saw this French madame followed by his very lovely French poodle, all very clipped and all, and he was strutting just like the fencer down the GIs were whistling at the woman, and I got up and followed the dog. And I asked if there was a possibility of getting a, because the war was finished, getting a dog, something like that. Yes, he had just sired a litter that was born 3 weeks before, and I got involved with trying to get a puppy with me to come home. But it was by the time, and I got the puppy, he was only 3 or 4 weeks old, but he was a full-grown dog before the war was finished, and I had a lot of problems trying to do it legally, and finally I couldn't do it legally, so I had to smuggle him. I just literally carried him aboard ship and covered him with my overcoat, and when the captain of the ship and the men of the ship, they inspected us, women of the war, you know, very closely, came and raised the coat off of the dog's eye. The dog must have known something was going on because he just lay there and he just looked at the guy. And he put the flap back on and he says, "What the cabin number is yours?" And we were assigned to the six of us in the cabin. And I just was so scared that I had heard that they would throw them over into the ocean. And then pretty soon a knock came on my door in the cabin and two men were there. And I thought, oh dear, one's going to hold me and the other's going to take the dog. And they smelled that I was on the verge of tears. And they said, "We'll take your dog and let him stay in the purser's cabin for the trip." So I was probably the only person that brought a dog back from the war.
Wow, what a great story. Mm-hmm. Wow. So at the end of the song, at the end of your book is done and it's out. So what do you hope people will take away from your book, or what do you hope people to get from your book?
That there must be some way of solving world problems besides killing the very choice men of the generation. There must be some way today that we have to solve problems short of destruction of lives. I don't know how this is going to happen.
Well, that's Mildred McGregor, thank you so much.
We've been talking to Mildred McGregor, author of World War II Frontline Nurse, published by the University of Michigan Press. Mildred is 95 and lives in Ann Arbor. This is her first book.
To learn more about our books, please visit us on the web at press.umich.edu. This podcast has been brought to you by the University of Michigan Press. Copyright 2008. All rights reserved.